Or especially when he comes up and he says, hey, we're going to make spacecraft. I says, hey, Bert, you know, you've done a lot of neat things, but, you know, we build home-built airplanes out of Mojave. There is no fine way that you're going to make an astronaut. But the funny thing is that every time proves me wrong. Now, it's a very special person, Bert, and he told me a couple of things that stayed in my memory for a long time that made a lot of sense. And one of the most significant things that he said was, and it's kind of a prominent theme in my new book, this is coming out, but he said something very profound, and it says, never forget this. He says, be very careful how you use the word impossible. Right? You know, when Bert came up and said that they were going to do a spaceship to make astronauts, you know, there wasn't anybody within 10,000 miles that thought they could actually do that. But it's the courage to try. Now, I noticed a couple of things that Bert didn't show here. You know, all of these were not successful. And we'll argue about it. Maybe a third of them were not successful. But that's probably about the perfect ratio that somebody that has that inventive genius that Bert has to fail. Arthur C. Clarke said, one of his laws, he says, the only way to determine one's limitation is occasionally you must break it. And if somebody goes along and they never had a failure, that means that they haven't pressed themselves hard enough. And Bert tries things and ideas, and some of them don't work. And like our mother always told us, he says, hey guys, you will learn more through failure than you do success. And that's the truth, too. You know, success kind of changes some things. One is the Voyager flight around the world. Now, we were successful on the first attempt, which is a bloody miracle to me, because the most amazing person, when we landed at Edwards and just before Christmas in 1986, I thought there was nobody there, and all the people that came out to greet us, there was nobody more amazed to be there than yours truly. But one thing happened after that, after we landed, the development for longer range airplanes stopped right there. Because we were successful. I often thought about, what if we landed 100 miles short and run out of gas? The development for long-range airplanes would have continued. And maybe I look back and what I'm thinking about, what Bert said, is look what happened to the Apollo program. It was a success. And everybody gave up. I got to point out a couple other things, too, about the programs. The Voyager was a poverty program. Now, I listened to some of these other programs Bert talks about, and there's a word associated with each one of those things, and it starts with a B. It's called a billionaire. A man comes up with a lot of money, and he funds it. And that's really required for somebody that's successful, that they can do it a lot quicker. We started out with Voyager with not two nickels to rub together, and we messed around and talked to a lot of people. American Express, all the big advertisers. We did turn down a couple of million dollars. $2.2 million we turned down. I can't tell you how poor we were back then. But I told them that your whole industry doesn't have enough money for us to put a cigarette on the side of that airplane. I said, how in the world could I even sleep at night? Trying to perpetuate the most deadly narcotic ever perpetrated on mankind? No way. You know, we did talk to a lot of people, and some of the big corporations were really interested. They said, hey, you know, we'd like to do that. A lot of exposure for our product all the way around the world. A lot of people going to see it. But then there's a guy, I found out he was a corporate lawyer, and he'd walk up and whisper in the boss's ear, and he'd say, hey, boss, I hate to tell you this, but this is a pretty risky program. He says, try to vision your logo or our logo on national television at the end of a runway in a fireball. They said, why don't you come back and see us when you're done? Baron Hilton almost did fund it, I think, and he told us later that he wished that he had done that. The only other one that I met, the guy whose name was Ross Perot. Ross Perot Jr. Ever heard of him?
He just died.
Of all the people that I've ever met or had association with for funding or anything like that, Ross Perot was my favorite. He was a very courteous gentleman, and one thing was that he was dead nuts honest about what he did. If you go and ask somebody to do something, hey, would you fund our project? And they say, boy, I'd like to, but hey, I know Jake. Boy, he'd love to find it. Oh, would he? And so we run over and talk to Jake, and Jake has somebody else. And it took us a while to figure out what they were doing to us. Ross Perot Jr. has some technical questions, and we couldn't answer it. And when we came back to Mojave, I asked Bert, wrote up the technical questions, and sent it back to Ross Perot. And he said no. And he didn't jack us around with anything. If it's no, then say no. You don't have to make an excuse. Although he did offer an excuse that I thought was kind of interesting. He says, I can't do that because I'm the chairman of the school board, and you and Gina are not married. Now, in California, I guess that wasn't a big thing, but evidently in the Bible Belt, it was significant. But it was a real honor and a privilege to meet him. Another thing that billionaires do, and this is always stuck in my craw, is that a big billionaire comes to Bert and say, hey, build me an airplane to fly around the world nonstop, non-refueled. And Bert says, well, I already did a propeller one. I'll do a jet one this time. And he did. And he built this single-engine jet. It was an incredible airplane. Had some incredible fuel specifics, and fuel fractions. And it did go around the world and break our record. But back then, he had GPS, and he got credit for every single inch that he flew. In the Voyager, I was only identified 5 times around the world, and we had a straight line distance between the two. In actual reality, the Voyager flew almost 2,000 miles farther than that did. They got credit for it, GPS. But the thing that really honked me off a little bit about multi-billionaires and their publicity thing is that they advertise that flight. He said, this is the first person to ever fly around the world nonstop, non-refueled. I said, hey, I don't have $1 billion program for publicity, but there was other, 20 years ago they did that. And I complained about that, and they says, no, you didn't listen, Rutan. He said the first person to fly around the world nonstop. Person, singular, because he did it solo. Took him 3 days instead of 9. That's pretty good. Only thing, he was second. I always try to put it, you need to put things in a historical perspective. If you think about what Lindbergh had to work with for navigation and whatever the technology of 1927 would offer him was, that age and that era. Now, he flew around the world in May of 1927. Now, put 20 years on that. If you put 20 years on that, you could go to New York City and you could buy a ticket as a passenger and you could have hot meals and you could have a sleeping berth to go from New York to Paris. Historical perspective again. The Voyager program it was really interesting, and I think if it had been fully funded, maybe we wouldn't have done it, but we wouldn't have been able to do it. But the old adage goes, if you don't have enough money to pay somebody to mow your lawn, you get to mow it yourself. And so after we went around and talked to all the billionaires and all the big corporations and stuff and finally figured out, we're at El Monte Airport Association, and there was a handful of people just exactly like you that's sitting in this audience right now. There's only 12 of you there. And Gene and I would go around and we would try to sell our posters to buy gas so we can go to different venues and stuff. And somebody come up and they were buying our $10 posters. And then I give Gene a credit for this, and she says, "You know something? You know who's going to fund this thing? And it's not any bloody billionaire. It's going to be y'all, the people." And so she came up with this little plane, and it was called the VIP Club, the Voyagers Impressive People Club. And probably somebody out here is probably a member of that club, and God bless you, and thank you for the support, because it made it. If you look in the museum and look at our little kiosk there, you'll notice that there's the $2 bills. And there's a little note under it, and it says, "Don't laugh, I did not have lunch today." And that was such an inspiration to us that we put that on the wall to inspire us over the 5.5 years it was going to take to do this program. You know, I got really good at doing things on my knees, begging.